You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Oh, hi. We are back. That registered so high on the recording. I apologize. That was very loud. Welcome back to Awkward Sex in the City. It's another Wednesday. A week has gone by. What is time? It never stops. That's horrifying, right? We've talked about that extensively on the podcast, my relationship to time. I'd actually had a different intro recorded for this. And then technical issues. Yay. And I guess I should have seen it coming. I got like a notification that my mic like kicked out or crapped out at one point, but I thought I fixed it. And so unfortunately in this episode, it is cut short and it is all my fault because of my fucking microphone. Thank you so much, technology. You gotta love it, right? Sometimes it's like soups great and does everything we want and like sends us dick pics consensually and boob pics. But then sometimes it's like, what the fuck? Anywho, I was just listening to the last intro, though, to, like, see if there's anything I wanted to repeat. And I was just like, Natalie, you know what? This is a blessing in disguise because that intro was just a ramble about yourself. And I know that's, like, what the solo episodes are, but this isn't a solo episode. I have a guest on this episode. I do want to announce, though, that we are very close to selling out the show. I was just been informed. I think there's only, like, 4 tickets left. And this is going to come out Wednesday. This was like 3 days ago. So I don't know by the time this is out if it'll be fully sold out. But live stream will still be available, which I guess if you're listening to the pod, that's probably your best case scenario anyways. And it's super cheap. It's $5. And it's really cool. You know, all of these, like the little empire of Awkward Sex in the City is my baby, right? But it is really cool to see how different each little like thing is, and the podcast is very different from the live show. The live show, I would say, is raunchier in a great way. It's very funny, whereas, you know, the pod is kind of, it's more intimate, and it's more about kind of like, you know, hashing out what happened and how that made you feel and things like that, rather than just kind of laughing at what happened that made you feel awkward or was awkward in that situation, like the live show. So if you've ever wanted to see it, this is definitely the best time. Grab that live stream. Littlefield's a great venue, so super excited to have them. That being said, I have a fucking guest. Yeah, y'all, I did it. I like did extra work to make sure I had extra guests, and then technology still found a way to shit all over me. But you know what? It's a lesson in fuck technology, right? But I'm addicted to you and will love you forever. So on this episode, I have Savannah DeSarmo. She's been on the podcast before. She's very funny. We shoot the shit. We catch up. And we talk a lot about COVID and dating in COVID. And I think personally for me, it just feels very important to allow people to kind of talk about last year, especially if you lived in New York City in March and April. in early May. Like early May, I remember it where there was like a really nice weekend and I was like, we can't go outside. We can't do it. Not understanding that like it's actually, you know, pretty safe to be outside and like socially distanced. But it was just like we just didn't know what the fuck was going on. And it was scary. And I just remember just staring out my window like a lot through all of that. And so I think it's important to allow people to kind of have, you know, a platform yet again where they can just really rehash and allow themselves to feel the feels that maybe they didn't allow themselves to get through those months. Because again, I've said this repeatedly, I will say this forever. I cannot explain how rough it was in New York City and how traumatizing it was. And like, that's why this, you know, this coming around feels so euphoric, just because there really just does feel like hope and just a shit ton of sex and fun around the corner and just like release, I hope. We'll see. Our positivity rate has been plummeting, which is beautiful. But that's not also to discredit the fact that this is still a very huge problem and a very big issue that America is dealing with and the rest of the world is dealing with too. I had someone just post that their father just died from COVID and, you know, didn't see it coming. And it just, I don't know. It's a hard balance, right? Because you don't want to go too crazy. Savannah, do you love how I'm just like talking all over your episode? Anywho, I'm not trying to be a downer. Again, I just want everyone to feel like they have a spot or a space that they really can just kind of decompress and vent. And so we do, we shoot the shit. We talk dating, we talk COVID. A little bit about tattoos and amongst other things. And you can follow Savannah at Savannah DESO on her socials, and she's hilarious. You're gonna love her, you're gonna love her Instagrams, and enjoy the episode, guys. But yeah, no, CX is so, like, a lot of the girls that I work with, it's mostly girls, they're so young. Mm-hmm. They're like 24, 25. And I'm like,
yeah,
they're like, I can't do this forever. And I was like, you don't, like, don't. As someone who's done CX, like almost her whole life, like get the fuck out.
Oh, have you? I didn't know that.
I've done like customer service. This is the first like CX role, cause they like to call it something different, but it's just fucking customer service.
It's the same thing.
Same fucking thing. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I've done it before as well, and it's grueling. I mean, I also feel like any social media job is also that in a way, because you're like responding to, I don't know. I'm, you know, we're all just trying to figure it out of like how to fucking have a life here, you know?
Yeah, and that's the only reason I stay is, or I am staying, is just it pays so fucking well, and it's like, well, now I can just buy all the shit I want and put all the money that I need into like comedy and stuff without having to like babysit on top of like working at Trader Joe's and shit like that.
Totally.
So what is up though? Like, what's new? I have not seen you in a very long time. Before COVID, you had a great show, Ghosting?
Ghost Town.
Ghost Town.
Yes.
Pete's Candy Store. And it just moved out of Pete's, didn't it? Like right before?
Yeah, in an iconic way, it sort of moved locations and was building steam sort of right before the world shut down. But yeah, I mean, it was an amazing show that I love. And I'm excited. I haven't decided if I'm going to like bring it back after all of this. I feel like we're all just different people now.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I the same showrunner that I was before? We'll see. I'll bring back my old show or I'll start a new one.
I went to a comedy show yesterday. The first one, like I've been to like in a venue.
Was it She Makes Me Laugh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And it's everyone's at the same spot. Everyone is, this is so brand new. I'm a different person, but I still love this thing. And it kind of like hit me. I was telling like Aaron earlier, it's like, this is like a huge fucking reset on like comedy in New York City.
So true.
And it's really cool. And I say like, I say bring it back, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I really do. I mean, I'm bringing back Awkward Sex. I feel like I don't know how to produce anymore and it's really hard.
But I don't even know how to live a life anymore.
Right? No, it's like trying to like figure that like old part, but it's still there. Like if you liked it and I feel like you really did love that show, I'd bring it back. And reunited yeah. Friends and Lovers. I live right around the corner now.
So I love Friends and Lovers.
It's a great venue.
I'll definitely
be
back there. Yeah. Shout out Friends and Lovers.
How has dating been? How is like, has there been sex? Has there been dating?
You know, there has been dating. There's been the occasional cess. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. I mean, I would love to hear what other comedians have been saying that you've had on for COVID dating. It's so weird, like having to navigate personal boundaries in a scenario when you're already having, I don't know, like, do we take off the masks? Or like, I feel like I'm doing that thing where I ask for, like before I even arrive to the date, I'm asking like, so what are we do? What's your vibe? And by that, I mean like, how do you feel about masks? Like I can wear it the whole time. I cannot. And it varied depending on like this whole year. I mean, for months there, I was just abstinent, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, for months I was abstinent, you know, and there was like a penis right next to me and I was just like, I cannot, like, I love you to death. The idea, right? It's like the idea of even getting wet is just too exhausting right now.
Couldn't possibly. I'm depressed. Yeah, no. It sounds like work. That sounds like labor. I'm trying to think. I actually had a pretty consistent hookup for most of last year. That was it, the timing of it could not have been better. It was like, as things, we were seeing some sort of reprieve at some point in New York was at some point in the summer. Obviously things got worse since. But there was that little break in the summer where it was like, things are kind of looking up. And I met someone then on a classic park date, which by the way, the park is the spot for romance these days. Like the ways in which people are just kind of going on promenades.
Yes.
Is adorable.
Yes.
It was just like, should we meet for a walk? So wholesome. Met someone and we were seeing each other for like casually for like many moons of last year. And I feel like that held me over. That kept me sane.
Mm-hmm.
He was super hot, super nice. My only complaint was that he had a job that took up a lot of his time. And then I was like, I'm doing nothing. I'm employed. I'm unemployed in a big way.
Uh-huh. That is hard. That is hard. Because Aaron was working when I was unemployed last year. And
it's so rude.
Like, you're just like stuck in this room and you're like waiting for them to be done. And you just like pounce. Yeah. And they're like, yeah. Oh, well, now I need to like unwind. And you're like, that's selfish of you. Like, I've been waiting for you.
Yeah. And it's annoying that this man that I was dating casually wasn't prioritizing me in his life. And that's my main complaint.
Is that why it like fizzled out?
No, I feel like it fizzled out because with casual things, it just eventually has to. Like, if it isn't, you know, going up towards some sort of climax of we're going to start dating seriously or like I'm in love with you or let's get married. Those are the three options. And if it's not that, it's like eventually you're like, well, I'm just going to stop texting you and you're going to stop texting me. I don't know. I've been thinking of actually hitting him back up. We didn't actually like end things.
Oh, and summer is right around the corner.
And now that the summer's coming back, I'm sort of like anniversary date.
Oh my God, you should totally do that. Like for like, real, like
anniversary. Let's reminisce. Yeah.
Cause the vibe right now too, like I was just like walking, getting groceries, doing errands like an hour ago. And it made me think of where I was mentally last year, which was like, I would not leave the house.
Yes.
Convinced I had COVID at all times.
Well, you worked for Trader Joe's, right? Or were you working there?
I did, but quit. I quit like March 17th or March 19th.
Oh, okay.
I did 1 week whenever, like I always say, it's like when Tom Hanks got COVID. he got COVID.
That was your cue.
Yep. And then like a week, I did 1 week of it and I was like, nope, I'm out. Because Trader Joe's did not fucking care about us like at all.
Of course not.
And so I was like, I am not giving up my body for
the more jobs that I have in this life, the more I realize that not a single company I work for will ever actually care about me or my well-being.
Oh my God. The company I'm working for right now, like it's capitalism, whatever.
But yeah.
They threw us like mental health days out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And because it's always Fridays and I don't work Fridays. They were like, well, here's just extra PTO. And they're like throwing PTO at us like my first month. And I was like, I'm never leaving. Like, yeah. I can just like take care of myself. And then my manager like last week was just kind of like, if you ever need like a day, like use the sick day. You like, it's a mental health day. Like, just let me know. Give me a heads up. What do you need? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, right. What is this? Because I'm used to them like spitting in my mouth and like throwing my head in like dirt.
Right. I feel like it should be. Yeah. I the whole mental health day thing with jobs, I feel like we're all growing on that being kind of just the norm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm about to start a new job that I asked if they had vacation and they were like, no, but you can take a sick day. And I was like, That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sick. I need a vacation.
Yeah.
And what about when I do get sick? I hope if anything, COVID teaches us that like when we're sick, we can't come to work anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, the amount of times I've gone into work when I have a cold because I don't want to call out sick,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, same. Yeah. No, 100%. And you're taught that's like a good work ethic, like that you're always showing up. And it's like, fuck that.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm done. I think I'm done having a good work ethic.
Me too. I'm done.
I'm going to go on record to say that.
Done having good health. Work ethic, and done having done caring about my job so much.
Totally.
Like, I felt like I cared too much. And then it's just this past year is like, it does not matter. Like this job does not matter. It does not define you in literally any way. Like whatever you're doing. So I was just like, just going to slowly divorce myself from any type of job and just like clock in, clock out and get that money and just be done.
That's it. That's the goal. That's the dream. I mean, I think like gone are the days of like people, obviously we all have our like quote unquote side hustle. That is your main hustle. That is the thing that like brings you joy and self-identity. But I think gone are the days of us, like, I don't know, like I'm sure you grew up with it too, the verbiage of like dream jobs and like, you know, find your dream job and you'll never work a day in your life. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's the biggest lie I was ever told in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even the things I love are still work. Like producing comedy shows is work and I don't like it. And it makes me feel like work. It feels like work, even though I love it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is a huge lie. And then also the, how well they sold us capitalism of like, you can do a thing and get paid for it. And it's just like, oh, I'm just in this like pyramid scheme of capitalism with like my comedy show and my day job. Cool, cool, cool.
Yes.
Cool, cool,
yes. Cool, cool. Yeah. 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 I'm just a cog.
Just a cog in this machine. Oh God. I think we figured it out. I think we just figured out that we have no jobs and we get paid. I mean, that was the greatest thing about unemployment was that you still got paid. Like I was just watching Laguna Beach getting paid.
It literally was dangerous because I was like, as I was like getting out of the unemployment stage and starting to be employed again, I was like, oh wait, I don't want to work in this life. I just realized I way prefer not working.
Mm-hmm.
I love sleeping in.
Yep. Sleeping in's great. TV.
Yeah.
Great. Love it.
I love TV. And that's something that's just so kind of quirky about me.
And it's so unique. No one's ever said that before. Oh. Now I'm just dreaming about the days when I didn't work. I do miss it.
I literally, my skin turned into a bizarre leather color because all I was doing was laying on my roof, sunning myself. When I die of skin cancer in whatever 50 years, it's because of this past summer for sure.
It's all going to be linked back to COVID.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
I'm excited for the summer, though. I think it's going to be sort of horny in a good way.
Yeah, kind of like how you said, like the park has been nothing but like these promenades and like these walk dates. This summer, we're going to see a lot of people fucking in the park.
Openly, I hope.
Openly. Oh my God. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm going to have my
camera. I need to see it.
I had a couple of friends who did have sex in the park last year.
Oh my God.
Separately. I heard separate stories. Yeah.
Or one was in different cases of public sex.
Yeah.
In which park?
Just Prospect. To clarify.
Prospect Park. Yeah. Same. Mm-hmm. That's where I live. In the park. No. that's so cool. Were they with strangers or with like their partner?
I think that was both like Tinder's things. I think it was both like kind of just.
Okay, like, am I doing Tinder wrong? I feel like I never have like fun adventures from apps. Like, I go on dozens and dozens of bad dates, but I never have like something crazy happen to me like that. There's something written on my forehead that's like,
I don't think you're doing something wrong. I really think it's just kind of like a luck.
I'm not having sex in parks. I can say that. And I'm openly looking for it. If any of your viewers want to sort of just take me out,
I was like, now you're going to secret it and you're going to say it out loud and now it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Truly, one time I was like years ago, I was like, I just want a dude that's like in walking distance. I can fuck whenever I want. And all of a sudden they just like showed up and we're like 10 blocks away. And I was like, this is perfect. This is perfect.
The secret is just manifesting, right? It's just saying what you want out loud and then it happens. That's everybody. That's all Instagram can talk about and TikTok. Mm-hmm. The secret invented it 10 years ago. I am excited. I have, I matched with someone on Bumble over a year ago in February. So February 2020, right before life would change as we know it forever. I was home my grandfather's funeral. And I went on Bumble. It was the first time. Usually I like don't open my apps because I don't want anyone to know that I'm from such a small town. Like, no one, if someone I know sees me on an app, they'll tell everyone. And my, you know, not that I'm embarrassed about being on an app. It's just like, in Louisiana, it's not as common as it is here. Like literally everyone here has like five apps, but it's still, they're behind with online dating. I think it's not as common. People meet in person more often.
That's really interesting. I just thought it was kind of universal, like state by state. Okay.
No, I mean, it's definitely it's like more popular in big cities. I'm from like country.
Yeah. Like you said, you're from Louisiana. I some reason thought New Orleans. I don't know why I thought that.
No, I'm from like 2 hours from New Orleans, this small town. Lafayette, Louisiana. But anyways, I was feeling particularly thirsty, probably because of the void being caused by my grandfather dying. If I had to give one little guess. I was like, I don't care who knows. Everyone can know. I'm looking. Went on Bumble, matched with this really cute guy. But then ultimately, I did not meet up with anyone. I was very much like there for my family. And then I had to fly back to New York. But this one guy in particular followed me on Instagram and has done a really good job of like every 3 to 5 months since we matched, will slide into my DMs and on my Instagram, doesn't even do a comment, but he'll do the
little heart,
like, the heart react. Yeah. Or like say like, you're cute or something, which that's all it takes, to be clear. Anyways, he did that recently.
Ooh, okay.
Like a week ago. And I just so have, I'm visiting home in a couple of weeks for my best friend's wedding. And so then I texted him or I DM'd him back for once. And I was like, hey, by the way, remind me, where are you? And then he was like, I'm in Lafayette, where I'm from. And now I think I'm going to go on a date in my hometown, which I've never done.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Oh, I have to.
You have to report back. And I think you need to have sex with this man.
I feel like I should.
Especially after like a wedding. Like you're going to be
exactly
so just like in a great mood, feeling yourself because you're going to look hot, drinks in.
Yeah. It also feels like almost like a Nicholas Sparks movie. Like I, you know, like I'm the big go-getter in New York. And then I come back for a hometown wedding. And then like this guy that's like a farmer, I'm sure. And like completely hunky.
Yes. He's
like, how do you do it up there in New York? It's so fast.
Was Sweet Home Alabama a Nicholas Sparks one with Reese Witherspoon?
That is what I was thinking of.
Yes, because that's exactly.
I did just describe that plot, but is it Nicholas Sparks? Let me Google
it. I'm not
this.
Sure if it is. That in that movie is like such a shit show because like the guy that she leaves Dr. Dreamy for or McDreamy for.
Yes.
Sucks.
And remember, McDreamy, wait, that's the one where he like rents out all of Tiffany's, right?
Mm-hmm. And he says, like, I completely understand like that you need to go with this person. I want what's best for you. And it's like this hot-headed piece of shit that like,
yeah, he's like scary.
Something with lightning. Yeah, there's something with lightning.
There's something to do with lightning. So what I'm saying is I want to go home and get struck by lightning, never to be seen again. I absolutely die. No, this is not a Nicholas Sparks movie. Yeah. IMDb has weighed in. Yeah, so I feel like I'm excited for that. He kind of looks like a sexy Jesus Christ.
I'm into that.
Be good for me. Yeah. I'll get in touch with my roots with Jesus Christ.
Oh shit, this is exciting, and that's happening in a couple of weeks. You said, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you told people that will be at the wedding about this person?
No,
we need like a hype group.
Well, my friend who's also in the wedding, I told her about it. We'll see. I'm home for like 1 week.
Oh, okay.
And so there's a lot of, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm also, I have to go to my dad's house as well. Like there's, you know, and I'm a bridesmaid, which means like usually my time will be occupied for a lot of the days that I'm there, but I have faith that I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Cause hear me out. I didn't realize you're a bridesmaid. That means your hair's going to be done and your makeup's going to be done.
Oh, so you're thinking I should do it on the night of the wedding?
I do. I think
that's really interesting.
Invite him to like the after party.
Okay. That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That way, like you don't feel guilty if like all of a sudden you're MIA for like some bridesmaid thing or like your dad's. Cause yeah, everything's going to be pretty regimented for that week.
Totally.
It'd be a great way to blow off all that steam and pressure after it's all done.
I love that. I mean, he did. It's like, but then I'm foregoing there being a date. It would just be me like inviting myself over to his place. This person I don't know. And you know what's weird is I was saying this to my roommate. I feel like for some reason going on, okay, when did you move to New York?
2011.
How old were you when you moved?
That's a good question. I was 23.
So pretty young. Yeah. I moved here when I was 18, which means like green. Yeah. I was green to the world. Mm-hmm. I like grew into my own with dating here. I've never gone on a date in my hometown. And for some reason, I am more suspicious of like going over to his place in like country town, Louisiana.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If I'm going to get murdered, it would be under that circumstance.
It would be here.
But then I, you know, if you go through the Rolodex of the amount of times I've just gone home with strangers here in New York,
it's long.
Barely knowing their names, you know, it's like I've put myself in precarious situations before. It's just interesting. There's something about a hometown date that is making me wary.
I get it though. I guess I had a boyfriend in ninth grade, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, like I went on dates like with I mean, I had a boyfriend through a lot of high school. So we would go on dates. I've been on dates.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like, yeah, what, yeah, to the movies, and we're both 16. Like, does that count? I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to go see like Daddy Daycare.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. The quintessential coming of age moment when we all go to Daddy Daycare at the movie theater.
I do the same thing. Like, I did not like being on the apps when I was home in Stafford, Virginia, but that was usually because like people would not swipe for me. And I was like,
okay, that's illegal.
Yeah. So I was like, this just makes me feel like shit, 'cause I hate like all of you. Like, why aren't you liking me?
Not to mention the absolute trolls that show up on like a hometown Bumble Tinder situation. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is like, I feel suddenly like I'm in high school again. Like, I don't want to tell my mom that I'm going to go on a date.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to get like permission. Then it's like,
exactly. 'Cause then it's, I also don't have a car. So I'd have to borrow a car. And then like, I don't know, like if I go home with him, like then she's going to know.
Okay. So this just makes me think more and more that it needs to be that you don't go on a date. It's just at like after party.
It's just an after party.
He comes to you. You guys like fuck in like a private bathroom.
Okay.
And now you've got your crazy Tinder story. You've got your crazy app story.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I bring him to a park.
Bring him to a park in Lafayette, Louisiana.
I'm like, I can't, I don't have time to explain this to you, but we do need to have sex in this park.
This has to happen right here, like on this playground.
People are depending on me at getting laid in a park. And by people, I mean me.
Yeah, I think you told me in the past, but do you live with roommates or are you alone?
I live with roommate.
Roommate. Okay.
Yes.
Roommate. Were they dating at all? Because I've been wondering about that with like people that were with roommates, but single. Like one of my good friends, he now lives alone. He was like in a temporary roommate situation and that person kept bringing people over.
Oh, interesting.
When shit was like still hitting the fan and like not telling the other roommates, or he'd leave for days and then come back.
That's fucked
up. Yeah, like that's fucked up.
Word. My roommate and I, who he's not just a roommate, he's very much a best friend. Him and I were like on the same page. I think it was actually, there was one day where we both decided to like I went on that date, that park date.
Mm-hmm.
And he also went on a date. It was like the same night where we were like, all right, we're breaking out of here. But he actually fell in love over this last year.
Amazing.
So, yeah. I've gotten, from my little cave, I've gotten to witness him fall in love, which has been a beautiful experience.
Oh,
loving the time of COVID.
Here to see it, here to witness it.
Here to bear witness to loving the time of COVID.
Oh my God. 'Cause it's just like, I literally say this like on every episode. It was just so dark for so long. Like,
it was like, so dark.
Like you being like, we had to break out. It's just like everyone like went through this. It was just like, it's like impending doom.
I need to be seen by someone. I need to be like perceived. Right. I need to be objectified by some guy from an app. Bad.
Like now.
Now.
Oh my God.
It has to happen right now.
Oh my God. It's just so real and so like personal, but it's like this universal thing that like literally every person that's been on the podcast during COVID, it's just been like, ugh, the same exact thing.
Oh, I'm feeling absolutely manic. I mean, I don't even know if I'm any better now. Like even if life is getting to be a little bit normal, like mm-hmm. I feel crazier than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm unique in that. I don't know. Like, I feel like I would make out with anyone in the world, but at the same time, anytime I have a conversation with someone new over 5 minutes, I do get exhausted and I want to go to bed.
So me and my friends just figured out why that is.
Oh, tell me.
Our friend had like an outdoor birthday party like last week and we all were just kind of like exhausted and like running out of stuff. And we were like, it's because we only have TV to talk about.
Yeah, there's nothing else, happening.
Nothing happened.
I'm very interested to see what happens with this wedding that I'm going to attend. I feel like I'm going to have to like run off and like sit in a dark closet for like an hour just to sort of recharge.
Your legs are going to get heavy from standing.
Yeah.
Like truly, like that's what happened to me. I was like, what is this feeling?
I know, I'm going to like pull a muscle from dancing.
Did you do any like Zoom dating?
Or were you very
I did do one FaceTime date, or I guess it was one guy. I went on two FaceTime dates with him. Mm-hmm. This was in like, this is at the kind of the top where we admitted defeat to this pandemic. We were all inside, and the dating world was like, FaceTime dating is a thing now. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. Tried it. And it was like, I mean, painful, but I think it was more just like, if there was chemistry to be had, it wasn't going to happen over FaceTime. And you know what it is? It's like when the conversation, there would be some sort of lull, which is an inevitable thing on any date, even the ones going well. Mm-hmm. It was like we had nothing to comment on. It was like we were living inside these little squares and we had to just kind of like sit in silence. But eventually it was like after the second date, cringing. I mean, they were both like fine. I think I feel like I could talk to anyone about anything for a while, or at least then. And after the second date, I was just like, if we're meant to be, it's not going to happen over FaceTime, and there's no end in sight. I don't want to keep having FaceTime dates. Mm-hmm. So then I texted him. I mean, I wish I saw the text. It was just kind of like, hey, like, I've so loved getting to know you, but I just, this moment, this global moment is having such an impact on me in ways that I didn't even anticipate. So let's just pick things back up when things die down, when the dust settles.
He's going to start sliding into your DMs like next month.
Well, do you know what's funny is we, on Bumble, we rematched.
Like, shut up.
2 months ago, I saw him and I was like, ha! And then I swiped right on him, and then the conversation was boring again. I was like, okay, no. So he was boring. It was boring.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, fuck, that's so cool. And then
if only
boring, if only.
No. I think it was just that we weren't meant to be. I mean, I know there are a lot of people who have, it's really worked out for them. They've done FaceTime dating. And I know a friend of mine like met somebody over FaceTime and now they're like together.
Wow.
Like they just celebrated their 1 year anniversary.
Wow. Like, so they at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I do have one friend who like, she went through a slew of terrible Zoom dates. And now kind of like what you said, like they just kind of have like instant chemistry. And it was just kind of like, why are we doing this? Let's meet in person. And it's just now like they're together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
Yeah. But it was just kind of like obvious via Zoom already that like they had chemistry. And it's just kind of like, we don't need to do these extra Zoom things. Like,
oh, see, that's interesting. I just don't know how you could ever have chemistry over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of it has to do with like pheromones and like just general touching.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
This isn't.
I don't know. I probably just didn't. Maybe one day when I meet my soulmate.
In Lafayette.
After
party.
I'll do a test, you know, like I'll see if I can feel it over a screen or something. I don't know.
Well, like, I don't know about you because the job that I just started, like I haven't met anyone IRL.
Mm.
And it's so weird. Like, it's so weird.
Right,
you don't
to be
know,
on a team.
Like, how tall are they? Like, what is their, what is their style? Like, chest down, like it's like random things I want to know.
Right.
That I
what
never
do
knew
their
I
legs
needed.
Look like? I need to know.
I did find out one of my manager's legs because he got a tattoo, or he has a tattoo, and I was like getting my first, and he like showed me, like pulled up his leg, and I was like, oh, his legs are skinnier than I thought they were going to be. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my god, I love the idea of there being like burlesque on Zoom. Wait, what's the tattoo you got?
I'm not sure if you can see it. Hold on, I'm going to move it like this. I got Venus de Milo.
Ooh! Oh, wait, I love that.
Thank
it's your
you.
First tattoo?
It's my first. Highly recommend.
I love that. Yeah, I think I should get one. I think arm tattoos are so hot.
I think they're so hot too. It like turns me on like crazy. So I was like, why not turn myself on with an arm tattoo?
Yes, yes. I love that mentality. That's how I feel too, where I'm like, I see it on other people and I'm like, I can't get enough of this.
It's so hot.
Yeah, but I think I'm like, I'm so... I don't know, like my tastes change radically every year of my life that I'm like, I know that if I get a tattoo, I'll hate it in a year. But every tattoo owner has told me that that's kind of the point, is it becomes like a staple of like that particular time in your life.
Yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely. Like, and I kind of didn't get it either. I was very like anti-tattoo for a long time because I was just like, I won't like something permanently. And then everyone I know has tattoos in there. And like you said, that's just kind of it. It's like something that was like important at this point in time in your life.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Please remember to like, rate, subscribe, share with all your friends. Anyone who you think will listen or love it. Cool. Love it. Remember to go follow Savannah on the socials at SavannahDeso. And go remember to check out Awkward Sex in the City, the live show, May fucking 7th. That is wild. That is horrifying. I did almost buy a $400 dress for the Oxex debut. I have since talked myself out of it, but not fully. Like, there's still time to buy it. But I don't know. It just feels like such, it feels like I'm like renewing my vows or something. It feels like such an important, like ceremony. I don't know. I'm getting nervous just thinking about it right now, and it's still got like 2 weeks, I guess 12 days. I don't know. Ugh, time. It never fucking stops. It's so wild. All right, guys. I'm gonna let you go. But I can't wait for you guys to hear the next episode next week.